Praise the Lord. What a beautiful night in the presence of the Lord. Incredible presence of the Lord resting on our lives tonight. Tonight I want to lift up a particular aspect of Jesus' ministry that isn't acknowledged too often, but it's in the Word of God. And the title tonight is, I Have Prayed For You. Luke 22, 31 to 34, familiar passage. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Those beautiful words, I have prayed for you. I don't know if there are any words more comforting that we could read tonight. Jesus said, I have prayed for you. Left to ourselves, left to our own strength, to our best intentions, we would fail. And we all know it. And there are times we felt it. But we have someone who cares for us, someone who prays, someone who strengthens, and his name is Jesus. He said, I have prayed for you. I mean, isn't that comforting to know tonight that Jesus prays for us, that he lifts us up, cares for us? Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able also to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, those who come to God through him, since Jesus is always living to make petition to God and intercede with him and intervene for them, for us. What a ministry on our behalf. The Amplified Bible, he's able to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity. Romans 8:33 to 34. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, that is, declares us righteous, justified just as if I'd never sinned. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus says, I pray for you. I have prayed for you. I love the words of F.F. Bruce. If it be asked what form his heavenly intercession takes, what better answer can be given but that he still does for his people at the right hand of God what he did for Peter on earth? If it be asked what form his heavenly intercession takes, what better answer can be given but that he still does for his people at the right hand of God what he did for Peter on earth? 1 John 5, verses 18 to 19, Amplified Classic. We know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin. But the one who was begotten of God, that's Jesus. You can see the capitals. But the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. Christ's divine presence within him preserves him against the evil, and the wicked one does not lay hold, get a grip on him, or touch him. We know positively that we are of God, and the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one, the devil. The one who was begotten of God Jesus Christ carefully watches over and protects his people. He prays for us. He watches over us. I wonder how many times Jesus has prayed for me from my childhood until now to save me, to protect me, to sustain me, to break temptation, to keep me from doing something foolish, from injury, from trial, how he's come on the sick bed to minister. I have prayed for you. Jesus making intercession for us. We have this great and wonderful high priest, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, temptations, infirmities, trials, struggles, warfare, disappointments, heartaches. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. He went through it, what we go through. He knows all about it. Yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. My, these are wonderful scriptures, promises of God. Jesus in the heavens interceding for us, caring for us, sustaining us, praying, intervening on our behalf. So we are strengthened down here and we can walk a life of his faith and beauty, strength and victory. So we overcome trials, so we don't fall to the snares and the foolishness of this world. The power of God, Jesus, the Son of God, praying for us and lifting us. You know, there's a beautiful illustration in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle of Moses, and later in the temple, of what Jesus does for us as a high priest. Without a high priest, you don't have access to God. But Jesus illustrates something so beautifully for us in the pattern of the Word of God concerning the daily duty of the high priest on behalf of the people of God. Israel had a high priest. We have a high priest. Israel had a first high priest, Aaron. We have a forever high priest that lives forever. And the high priest, every day, morning and evening, had two very specific duties on behalf of the people. He had many other sundry responsibilities, but the high priest had two very important duties every morning and every evening. And that was first to replenish the lamps of fire and to burn incense on the golden altar. The lampstand and the golden altar in the tabernacle in the holy place. These two items of furniture along with the table of showbread, but these two are signified as having great spiritual truth to us. The lampstand, that seven-branched candlestick or lampstand, and then the golden altar, about 3 feet high, a meter high, on which was cast the incense. On the hot coals of that altar, and the incense would rise to the heavens to God, representing prayer. So the high priest had these two duties, to replenish the lamps of fire, to rekindle fire in the hearts of his people so they'd burn brightly, and to burn incense on the altar and cause prayer and intercession to rise to the heavens every morning and every evening. And the high priest would come and he would trim the lamps. He would adjust the wick. He would pour fresh oil into the lamps and relight them so they'd burn brightly. And when he was done that duty, he would walk over to the golden altar, and he would cast incense, prayer and intercession on that altar, and there would be prayer that would be offered up to God in the heavens. Let's look at Leviticus 24:1-4. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to make the lamps burn continually? Where are the lamps? Outside the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting that is the holy place, Aaron shall be in charge of it from evening until morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall be in charge of the lamps on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord continually. The high priest, Jesus, in charge of the lamps on the pure gold lampstand. Exodus 30, verse 1. You shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood. Verse 6, and you shall put it before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it, the golden altar. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Look at those words. When Aaron lights the lamps, he shall burn sweet incense on the altar. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Every morning and every evening, he comes to adjust our hearts, to take care of the wick, to adjust us, to trim us, so that we will burn brightly. We will be strong. And when he comes and adjusts the flame of our hearts, he walks over to the golden altar and he offers prayer and intercession on our behalf and lifts us up before the Father. That is the ministry of the great high priest. And that's what Jesus said, I have prayed for you. And to this day, he ever lives to make intercession for us before God. What a beautiful picture. That when Jesus comes to replenish the lamps, that is, to adjust and relight our lives every day, morning and evening, he also is involved with the ministry of intercession to pray for us, to encourage us, to build us, to take us through trials and things that we could never get through on our own. This wonderful, great high priest that we have. What a Savior we have. Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Jesus prays for us. You know, it's been some time ago that Pastor Mark read us an excerpt from David Wilkerson on this passage. And when I heard that message, I made sure I got a copy of what David Wilkerson said. And I tuck it in my Bible. And when I read Luke 22, I read these words. It says, when Jesus walked on earth, he knew all too well the fierceness of Satan's power, that he comes with every weapon in hell to sift the Lord's people. I don't think any of us can comprehend the great conflict raging right now in the spiritual realm. Nor do we realize how determined Satan is to destroy all believers who have fixed their hungering hearts firmly on going all the way with Christ. But it is true that in our Christian walk, we cross a line, the obedience line, that sets off every alarm in hell. And the moment we cross that line into a life of obedience to God's word and dependence on Jesus alone, we become a threat to the kingdom of darkness and a prime target of demonic principalities and powers. The testimony of every believer who turns to the Lord with all his heart includes the sudden onslaught of strange and intense troubles and trials. If you've crossed the obedience line, then you are making waves in the unseen world. In Luke 22, 28 to 34, Jesus introduces this subject of the sifting of saints. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. In Christ's day, grain workers used a sieve just before they sacked grain. They shoveled wheat into a square box covered with netting, then turned the box upside down and shook it violently. The grit and dirt fell through the netting until only the grain kernels remained. In this verse, sift means to be shaken and separated, to be shocked through the agitation of sudden trials. Jesus used this analogy to say to Peter, Satan believes you're nothing but grit and dirt, and that when he puts you in the sieve and shakes you, you will fall through to the ground. There are tests and trials, and then there is sifting. I see sifting as one major, all-out satanic onslaught. It is usually compressed into a short but very intense period of time. For Peter, the sifting would only last a few days, but those days would become the most faith-shaking, shocking, and remorseful days of his life. That sifting shook out the pride that had brought Peter down. The shaking rid his soul of hindrances that could have destroyed his witness once and for all. Thank God, Peter's faith did not fail. And as surely as Jesus prayed that his faith fail not, so he prays for us in the same manner. Tense trial, temptation, heaviness, circumstances, dark times, pressure. There's one who's praying for us. Satan says we're chaff. Jesus says we're wheat. Satan tries to convince us that we're chaff, light, of no substance, of no consequence. Jesus says, you're wheat. You're valuable. You're of worth. There's substance to you. There's life in you. There's miracle seed and power in you. The devil comes to sift us. But the only thing that's going to get sifted out of us is the chaff that still clings to our life, and we will go on and live and serve God even more powerfully and fully than we ever have. Satan gets sifted out and falls to the ground. I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven, and he falls in our lives too. And though we feel that pressure, and we have those times of temptation and heaviness, and it's like all-out spiritual warfare against our emotions, our mind, our feelings, our circumstances. We wonder how we can go on and how the future's going to unfold. But there's one who's praying for us, and Jesus will take us through and sustain us. And all those who have a full, hungering heart to follow God will be led forth by the Holy Spirit in ongoing victory. And the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Micah 7:8. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. What a verse to memorize. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Let's have the worship ministry return. Let's close out with 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. That's our responsibility. That believing spirit, that response, that surrender. But we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation at the coming of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. Have you ever thanked Jesus? Thank you, Jesus, for praying for me. Maybe we should do that tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for praying for me. I've been so tested sometimes. I didn't know which way to turn. Trial and struggle. Disappointment. Sorrow. Thank you for praying for me, Jesus. As I felt the everlasting arms come and lift me up. I felt the power of the Holy Spirit come and renew my systems and my mind and understanding. Thank you, Jesus, for praying for me. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you for supporting and sustaining me. Let's thank the Lord for his goodness tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you're experiencing a sifting, day of trial, day of hardship. Maybe like you've never endured before. Cast yourself on the Lord tonight. Say, Jesus, high priest, I know every morning and every evening you're walking to the lamps, you're coming to adjust my life, to trim the wick, to pour fresh oil in me, to relight me. And I know when you're doing that, that you're also lifting up my needs before the Father on my behalf. Just think of it, how personal God is. We know the Father knows all about us. Every child, it's beyond our comprehension how he can intimately know the cry, the need, the request of every one of us and every Christian on the planet. And Jesus is no different. He knows exactly what's going on in our hearts, the trial, the flesh life, the peer pressure, the world system, the call of the wild. He knows exactly what's going on inside of us. He loves us. He said, I have prayed for you, and I will pray for you. Maybe some things will get sifted out, Jesus says. He knows all about us. He can watch over Peter. He knows Peter's going to come through. His faith will not fail. And when he's strengthened, he will also minister life unto other people. So let's praise the Lord tonight. If anyone has a need, you'd like prayer tonight, please come to the altar. Come to the front if you'd like prayer for any need, physical or spiritual, emotional, circumstantial. Please feel free to slip out. People will come and pray for you and lay their hands on you and lift you up. Well, let's all of us thank Jesus tonight for his ministry, how he cares for us.